I want to begin by sharing a memory. I travel, we just got back from this trip, but once a month I go to see my children in St. Louis. And so some of you know about this trip that I take. I leave on Thursday morning and then I come back on Saturday and I get to spend Friday with my kids and little time together. We usually go out and eat and just talk about what's going on in their lives. But I try to at least make that trip once a month. I also get a treatment for my psoriasis. I have psoriatic arthritis. You know Jim, the Mickelson, the guy, the golfer, he's got the same thing I've got. He takes a different drug, but I get a treatment. It takes about 3 hours, and it's a treatment that I get at Washington University, and I've had the same doctor for 20 years almost, and so I keep going back to him, and he sees me and tells me I'm doing fine. So, and then I pay him a lot of money to tell me I'm doing fine. But in any case, the drive is fascinating. It's 707 miles, just so you know. I kind of know this. So it's 707 miles, and every time I hit 100 miles, I kind of mark it off. So I know all the way along through. And when I get to Indiana, which is where Shelley's from, she always sings. When she goes with me, she sings her song about back home in Indiana. That's where she's, and so I guess that's the state song of Indiana, but she doesn't know all of it. She only knows the first part, back home in Indiana. That's all she knows. And then she goes, Occasionally, the drive on the interstate gets a little boring, and so I decide I'll get off and on the highway, the old highway. And so if you know, U.S. 40 also runs along through. So I can get off on a U.S. highway and go through the small towns. Anybody like to go through small towns just to drive on the highway through? Get off the interstate, go through the small towns, and you see the little local ice cream shop and you pull over and get some ice cream, right? So And so I was just driving through, and I don't exactly remember the town it was. I know it was wintertime. It's been a couple of years now. But I remember the building. It was a simple-looking building, and it was painted a light blue color. And there was a sign that you could buy, you know, at the local hardware store. And on the sign, it said, Video games. Typical sign. The building looked a little dilapidated. And then on the front door, there was another sign that you could also buy at the local hardware store. And it said, with red background and white lettering, out of business. But what really caught my eye was what someone had spray painted on the building. Are you ready? Large letters right next to the out of business sign. Spray painted sign. I am bored. I am bored. Apparently, there was someone in the community who now had nothing to do, because the video game store went out of business. You know, in an odd kind of way, I've often wondered through the years about the person who spray painted that message. It wasn't vandalism, really. I mean, it was, but it was more than that, don't you think? It wasn't your typical graffiti, you know, not the kind you would normally see on something, not profane, and wasn't some kind of gang. Somehow the message was a cry. kind of a gut level message, almost a prayer. I am bored. Another way of saying, I need something in my life, right? I need something to live for. I used to have the video store, but now I don't have that anymore. Probably needed something to live for before the video store. But I need something to live for that will give me energy and enthusiasm and inspire me so I can get up in the morning and have a purpose. Right? So I'm wondering this morning, what gives your life purpose? What makes you get up in the morning? What gives your life purpose? What are you living for? What is it? What drives you every day to jump out of bed and get moving? Does your life have a purpose? What do you live with at the end of the day when you turn off your bedroom light and fall asleep on your pillow? Does your life have a purpose? What makes you get up when the alarm goes off and, oh, I know what it is. It's the cup of coffee that you're looking for, right? That's what makes you get up when your alarm goes off. You're looking for that cup of coffee. That's your purpose for the moment, right? I got it. It doesn't appear in the passage of Scripture, but it really does summarize this scripture passage. It's certainly one of the themes running through it. The word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah, and what God says is that I've got a plan for your life. So, does God have a plan for your life? I've got news for you today. Guess what? Yes. I've got a plan for your life. I've got some things that I want you to do. You mean God's got things that God wants me to do and you to do? Really? Did you know that? This is a good place to get that figured out. God has a purpose, a plan for your life that you can fulfill. Only you. The word of the Lord says to Jeremiah, I had a plan for you that was formed in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I had a plan for you. Anybody here ready for that? Really? Think about what that means. I had a plan for you before you were formed in your mother's womb. I've got a purpose for your life. Your purpose, according to Jeremiah, Jeremiah's purpose was to preach to the nation of Israel and to remind them that God's steadfast love was going to call them back into a deeper relationship with God. You know what's going to happen? You're going to tell them that God loves them so much. And do you know what they're going to tell you? Yeah, they're going to lament. And they're going to complain. And they're going to be sad. And they're going to be argumentative. And you're going to tell them that God loves them so much. And they're going to complain about it. Anybody here see the irony in this? In the end, what you do will be my purpose, and you need to go do it. And then what does Jeremiah say? Well, Jeremiah says, I don't want to tell them that you love them. It's called the reluctant prophet. I don't want to tell them. I don't want to do it, God. I don't want to live out the purpose that you have for me. that you formed me for, that you made me to be. He loves God. He loves Israel. But on the other hand, it's a pretty big task, and he doesn't want to deal with it. And he doesn't want to address it. And he doesn't want to do what God has called him to do. He responds by saying, I don't really know how to speak. I mean, I can't put a sermon together, and plus I'm young, and people won't pay any attention to me anyway. And so Jeremiah makes up all kinds of excuses not to do the thing that God wants him to do. Anybody else ever done that? I know this is what God wants me to do. There are plenty of reasons why I shouldn't do it. I can think of a whole bunch of them. And so, God, there's this and this and this and this and this and this. And you know what? I'll tell you. Just do exactly what Jeremiah did. Go ahead. Come up with all the reasons that you can't do what God wants you to do. Go ahead. List them all. Tell God all about them. And miss your deepest purpose in life. Really? And miss your deepest purpose in life. I think it was fear. I think he was afraid. And I know this passage has a lot to say about what some people call a calling to ministry, but this morning I want you to think about your calling to a purpose in life. How do you answer God's call in your life? How do you move out of the boredom of life? How do you move into a purpose in life? How do you rediscover vitality? How do you rediscover this authentic relationship with God? And how do you let go of the situations that are demanding your time so that you can do the things that God wants you to do? How do you move closer to the will of God? How do you do it? Purpose. Find that purpose and live into it, folks. I always talk to people who tell me about the situation in their life, and quite often they tell me about the history, and they say, this is what happened to me, and 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 because of all these things that have happened to me in the past, I don't feel like my life has a purpose or value anymore. And my question is, are you still living in the past? Why? Why? Do you think God wants you to live in the past? Really? I think God wants to move you into something great. Purpose. And God can actually use all those really terrible and negative things that you've had happen in your life, that God can actually use that and make good out of it. I believe that God can do that. Do you believe that God can actually make a resurrection out of a crucifixion? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can do that? Can God actually do that? Make a resurrection out of a crucifixion? That God can make something new out of something that looks devastatingly, devastatingly evil? I believe that God can do that. And so are you still living in what used to be, or are you moving into what God wants for your life? God's purpose, God's desire, God's will. Are you moving into something, or are you stuck in what used to be? God wants you to move into something new. God wants to give you something new to live into. Had good advice from one of my professors. He said, never run away from something, always run towards something. live into something. Move into becoming what God wants you to be. It's not too late. And you know why I know it's not too late? Because you're still here. Okay? If it was a funeral service, it would be too late. But guess what? This is not a funeral service. This is a service that invites you into living into the becoming the person God wants you to be. What is that? What is that purpose? And folks, it's never too late. Never, never too late to move into that purpose. Now, who's going to give you that? That's the question. A lot of people come to me and they say, I need a purpose for my life and I want you to give it to me. It ain't going to happen. I'm not going to give it to you. This is between you and God. But I guarantee you, if you ask God what God wants for you to do, God will tell you. I guarantee it. No doubt about it. God will tell you. You will know. Without a doubt, you will know. You may not want to do it, but you will know what God wants you to do. But in order for you to know, your prayer has to be more than just talking. It has to be listening. Good conversation does that, right? Talk and then listen. You can tell God all the things you want to tell God, and you can tell God this prayer, ask God this prayer. God, I want a purpose and a value. I want my life to live into your purpose. I want to do something that will make a difference in my life and for your kingdom. What is it that you want me to do? God will tell you. Now, the first reflection I want to offer is, and I dare say most of us are this way, we live with too small a purpose. We need something bigger. Most of us need something grander. And I want to be careful here because it's easy to become sanctimonious or maybe grandiose about purpose, but what happens is that if our purpose in life is too small, we become pretty small. And something inside us shrinks. Yet if our purpose is grand and big, and even if we don't always fulfill them, if our purpose is grand and big, we become nobler and we become more fulfilled as human beings because we're living into something bigger than ourselves. I was thinking about the other night when I was flipping through. Anybody ever watched The Apprentice? I kind of got into that. I watched an old episode. Remember when Donald Trump's other job, before he was president, he had his other job, and he was on The Apprentice. Remember when he was on that? Did anybody else watch that, or was I the only one? It was kind of an interesting show. And these team of adults, you know, they all gather together, and they're given a business task, and the ones who succeed and stay alive in the competition, and then the others, they fail, and what happens? You're fired. That's right. The Donald fires them. The motivating factor for all of them in business was to do what? What was their purpose? Yeah, make money, right? They had to make money. And so they needed to succeed and make a lot of money. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with business. Doing well in business, that's a good thing. Making money, that's a good thing. Being successful, that's a good thing. And there are a lot of challenges in that. It requires creativity, involves imagination. All these are good things. But we've got men and women in this church who have my highest admiration because of the work that they do and the success that they have. My question is that all there is to life? You know, the people I admire the most are the ones who kind of see it all holistically. They're making money, but they're adding something to their lives and something to other people's lives. And they make money and they do things with the money they make to support ministry. And they're driven by generosity, not accumulation. And they're trying to make other people's lives better. The question I had while I was kind of looking back over time and watching this show is, is making money a big enough purpose in life? Is money important? Is success important? Possessions, are they important? To some people, yeah. What about a good education? Is that important? Yeah. A career? More than a career. Purpose goes to the heart of what we are and what we can become as a human being. I used to think that the one large human problem was that people thought too highly of themselves. They were guilty of the sin of pride. But you know what? I think just the opposite today. I think people think too small of themselves. I think they think too little of themselves. I think our church thinks too little of itself. I don't think we realize what potential we have. And I think we think too small and too little. We live with too small of a dream, too little of a vision. But faith tells us that we can be and should be, and we must live into a greater, bigger purpose than we know. Jeremiah thought he was too inept to give a speech. He wasn't thinking big enough. He thought he was too young to answer God's call. And God touched his lip with the divine calling, and he brought a nation back home to God. Now that's a purpose. And God's offering each of us this sense of calling. Jesus said, if you want to find your life, what do you have to do first? You want to find a life? You got to lose yourself. Purpose is found in service to others. Jesus said, because you did it to one of the least of these, you did it also to me. That's purpose found in service to others. Jesus said, if anyone wants to be the greatest, he should be the least. Now that's purpose. There was nothing small about Jesus, was there? And therefore, there should be nothing small about us. Did Jesus have a big vision? You bet. And he worked with a few people to make it happen. Richard Leder's written, knowing who we are, why we're here, and what we're trying to do with our lives enriches our journey. Or think about this quote. George Bernard Shaw says, this is true joy in life, that being used for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one. Or maybe this quote by George Eliot, what makes life dreary is the want of a motive. Or what about Helen Keller? You know, many people have the wrong idea of what constitutes true happiness. It's not attaining through self-gratification. It's through fidelity to a worthy purpose. That's Helen Keller. I learned one of the most dramatic lessons in life when I was a senior in high school. I got selected to a leadership conference, and I went to Colorado, and there was high school students all over the country that were invited to this leadership conference, and I got to go too. And the name of the camp was Jack Chalet Camp. Anybody ever heard of Jack Chalet? Well, Jack Chalet owned the camp. He owned all the land. And I assume by virtue of the fact that the camp was named after him, that he was a pretty wealthy man. Would you all think that too? And I would get up every morning and I head to the showers. And each morning that I was there, I would see this man wearing a sweatshirt and jeans and boots. And you know what he was doing? Well, I thought he was the cleaning guy. He was cleaning the showers and he was cleaning the toilets and he was cleaning around in the bathroom. Nobody talked to that guy. At the end of the week, Jack Chalet introduced himself to us. He was the cleaning man. And nobody wanted to talk to him because they didn't think he was too important. He owned the place. He paid for all of us to be there. And I can tell you, I don't think he ever once thought about spray painting the message "I am bored" on anything in his entire life. Because he wasn't bored. He was a very, very, very busy man. And the first thing he did at 6 a.m. in the morning was to clean the toilets. Did he have to? Why did he do that? He sure did. Yeah. Said hi to us. Friendly as could be. And nobody ever talked to him. Because we were leaders, you know. We were important. We were invited to this great camp. Chosen. We were important. And he was just a working guy, cleaning toilets and stuff. Yeah. We need a bigger purpose, folks. We need to find life. And sometimes finding that bigger purpose means taking the small things and doing the little things and having the jobs that nobody else wants to have. Doing the work that needs to be done in order that the kingdom of God becomes bigger. Jesus calls us to love our neighbor, to find greatness in becoming a servant, and to find purpose in honoring God within us, within others. I want to say, lest we fly off and become guilty of what Mark Twain thought of Christians. They were so heavenly minded that they were no earthly good, he said. That we find some purpose in the daily activities, in the ordinary life that we live. Sometimes greatness is measured on a grand scale, and sometimes it's measured in the small, common, ordinary gestures of life. And a teacher who teaches to the best of her ability every day has purpose. Who goes the extra mile for a student, she has purpose. Who stays late and gets there early, not for more money, but because of a true passion for education, and it's answering a call for God. The insurance broker who goes the extra mile for his clients, giving them above and beyond good attention. Answering the call of God. The physician who, in spite of all kinds of pressure, spends time with her patients. Because it's part of the healing process. Answering the call of God. The waitress who gives people good service and shares a little human joy can do the work for the glory of God. Are you getting this? It doesn't have to be grandiose, folks. It doesn't have to be. You can wash clothes, you can clean houses, you can change diapers, you can mow the yard, you can help your child with homework, you can go to a soccer game, you can do anything for the glory of God, but it requires you to see that the ordinary tasks of life have purpose too, and when we do them with purpose, when we do them with purpose, then we show Jesus Christ that we love Him. So let me ask you one more time, what gives your life purpose? I want to suggest that faith in God is going to make the difference. It can be simple things. But what gives your life purpose? What do you get up for in the morning? Really? Are you excited about the life that God's given you? If you're not, you should be. You have a great life and a great calling and a great purpose. So live into it. Okay? Live into it. Be the person God wants you to be. I'm sure you've never heard that before in church. Be the person God wants you to be and live into God's purpose for your life. Or you can just write the message on the wall, "I'm bored." Let's pray. Gracious God, place your word in our mouth, flavor all we say, place your life force in our hearts, fill us with this abundance of your love. Make your spirit felt in our lives and move us towards acts of kindness and compassion and justice and forgiveness. We want to be alive with your presence. In the name of Jesus, the living word, we pray. Amen.